the book of 2 Samuel in chapter number 18. I want to read from this chapter two different places. And I want to start at verse 14 just to give you a little idea of what's taking place. And I will tell you my text tonight really comes out of verse 33. I'm not sure I could call it a text, but it's that which really propelled my heart and got me to thinking. All of last week, everything that I read pointed to Absalom. And everything that, of course, my Bible reading was in this spot, and so many other places I was at, it pointed to him, and I was beginning to think God wanted me to preach on Absalom. And then Saturday morning, I read this text, and verse 33 really caught my heart. But let's notice here, beginning in verse 14, it says, "Then said Joab, I may not tarry thus with thee." He'd been told that Absalom had been hung in a tree by his hair, and so he was there at the old oak tree waiting for Joab's present. He says he took three darts in his hand and thrust him through the heart of Absalom while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak. And 10 young men that bare Joab's armor compassed about and smote Absalom and slew him. And Joab blew the trumpet, and the people returned from pursuing after Israel, for Joab held back the people. And they took Absalom and cast him into a great pit in the wood and laid a very great heap of stones upon him. And all Israel fled every one to his tent. Now Absalom in his lifetime had taken and reared up for himself a pillar which is in the king's dale. For he said, I have no son to keep my name in remembrance. And he called the pillar after his own name. And it is called unto this day Absalom's place. Now we're going to pass by the two runners. There were two who were going to take the message to David. One left without a message. That's interesting. One left with a message. The one who left with a message left first. The one who left without a message left second. But he got there first. Interesting scenario. And there's message and application there. But let's go down to the end of this when the message is delivered to King David. And it's delivered by this man, Cushai. In verse 31, notice what it says. And behold, Cushai came, and Cushai said, Tidings, my lord the king, for the Lord hath avenged thee this day of all them that rise up against thee. And the king said unto Cushai, Is the young man Absalom safe? And Cushai answered, The enemies of my lord the king and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt be as that young man is. And the king was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you tonight for your word. Lord, I pray tonight that we not only get and understand the historical setting, but Lord, that we might make application to our hearts. Oh God, tonight, we ask for the leadership and the power, the anointing, the moving of the Holy Spirit of God in this place. For without you teaching us this, your word, it will have no effect. It will be of no avail. And so we plead with you, O God, to move in every heart. Spirit of God, if you would so see fit to come down upon us, if you would so see fit to pour yourself upon this place this night, we would say amen and thank you. Work in our hearts, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. There was something in the life of Absalom that nearly destroyed Israel. There was something in the life of Absalom that nearly destroyed this tremendous kingdom that God had brought about at this time under the leadership of David. There is something that can destroy the lives of individuals as they gather together in groups, perhaps quicker than anything else. And that very thing was what Absalom had a terrible problem with. Pride. Pride. There are three sins that are mentioned in the book of 1 John that are generalized. There is what is called the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. In your life, if there is that which is going to take place as sin, it will be categorized under one of those things. I believe it was pride that caused Satan to rise up and rebel against God. He said, "I will." Isaiah records five of them that he said he would be. Satan believed that he was greater than God. And if there was ever a life that demonstrated Satan, if there was ever a life that demonstrated the destructiveness of pride, it is in this man of Absalom. There's a verse found in the book of Proverbs, chapter 16, that is very, very enlightening. You know this verse, most likely. Pride goeth before destruction. What that simply means is that pride is going to bring about destruction. When it is there, destruction is soon to come. He goes on in that same verse and says, "And haughty spirit before a fall." And so in different words, God is saying to you and to me that if there is pride in our life, it is going to destroy that which it is contained within. As we contemplate this passage and we look back to previous verses and chapters here in the life of Absalom and David, I believe that we're going to find that there are really these two chief characters. They are very much different, though they are father and son. Though one be related to the other, though one bore the other, we find that there is, within the characters of these two peoples, some very opposite things. And so tonight, I'd like for us to look at, first of all, the rebel son, and secondly, the loving father. For I'm simply amazed as I come to verse number 33, and I read these words of this father, and how he grieved over his wayward son. Absalom, we find, was the son of an unholy union. We find that David had been against a man by the name of Ishbosheth. And this man Ishbosheth, as David was in basically warfare against him, to overcome some of that problem, he decided that what he would do was to marry a woman by the name of Maacah. Maacah was the daughter of Talmai, who was the king of Geshur. Geshur is not a part of Israel. It is a kingdom that was just east of there, and he was seeking their support. And in seeking that support, rather than to allow his piety to lead him, to allow the leadership of God, he decided, "Hey, listen, this will help me and aid me. It would give me greater strength." And he made a wrong decision. By the way, I want to tell you something about David. David did make some wrong decisions. But there was something David had that we all desperately need. David had a humility that allowed him, when he made a wrong decision, to be able to repent. If there's any man in the Word of God that knew how to repent, it was David. I believe that's why God allowed him to write the 51st Psalm to you and to me, that says so much on this matter of repentance. But David made a wrong decision. By the way, even though we're saved, we make wrong decisions. They come back to haunt us, do they not? And we find out that indeed what we sow, we shall reap. And we sow a bad decision, we're going to reap from it. We find that happened to Israel on many occasions. It happened to all the men of God on different occasions. And so we find that this son is born. His introduction to history is interesting, for we find that he is introduced into history as the one who takes vengeance for his sister. I want you to turn back to chapter 13 with me, chapter 13 of 2 Samuel. And we're just going to read a few different verses here. And I want to start in verse number 22. we find that Amnon was the firstborn of David. Amnon decided that he loved Tamar. And he had this thing for Tamar, and she is his half-sister. But we find that he feigns a sickness, has her brought in unto him, and basically, how else can we say it, he rapes his sister. Absalom finds out about this, and he is furious. But let's notice some things about him as we look at Scripture here. Chapter 13, verse number 22, it says in verse 22, "And Absalom spake unto his brother Amnon," listen to this, "neither good nor bad." He just doesn't speak to him. "For Absalom hated Amnon." By the way, have you ever noticed that there are certain people who may not speak to you? It's probably because they do not have a love in their heart. And how we need to be a people who are willing to what? Speak to people. Amen. We ought to love them. "But he hated Amnon, and the reason, because he had forced his sister Tamar." Now notice the next verse. "And it came to pass after 2 full years." Not right away. After 2 full years, that Absalom had sheep shearers in Baal Hazar, which is beside Ephraim. And Absalom invited all the king's sons. And Absalom came to the king and said, "Behold now, thy servant hath sheep shearers. Let the king, I beseech thee, and his servants go with thy servant." And the king said to Absalom, "Nay, my son, let us not all now go, lest we be chargeable unto thee." He saw something taking place here, but I don't think he knew what it was. And he pressed him. Howbeit, he would not go, but blessed him. Then said Absalom, "If not, I pray thee, let my brother Amnon go with us." And the king said unto him, "Why should he go with thee?" Do you think David had forgotten? Don't think so. But Absalom pressed him, that he let Amnon and all the king's sons go with him. It tells me something about Absalom. He had a very persuasive manner about him. And so we find that he comes to the king. He says, "Why don't you come?" The king says, "No." He says, "Well, if you won't come, let Amnon come." I think Absalom had some things in mind all along. Verse 28. "Absalom had commanded his servants, saying, Mark ye now, when Amnon's heart is merry with wine, when I say unto you, smite Amnon, then kill him. Fear not, have not I commanded you? Be courageous and be valiant." I've always wondered about verses like that. Be courageous and valiant. Be a good murderer. "And the servants of Absalom did unto Amnon as Absalom had commanded. Then all the king's sons arose, every man gat him upon his mule and fled." We see here this man, as he has had this horrible thing happen to his sister, be willing to sit and wait that he might get his vengeance. Well, we find that subsequently he is in self-banishment. In verse number 37 it says, "Absalom fled and went to Talmai, the son of Amlihud, king of" what? Geshur. Where was his mother from? Geshur. Who was she? The princess. She was the king's daughter. And it says, "And David mourned for his son every day." We go a little bit farther in Scripture and we find that Joab comes to David. Joab, who's the king, he was the general of the army, and an interesting character all in himself. Joab comes to David and he is seeking for Absalom to be brought back. And through a series of events, we find that this takes place. Notice with me chapter 14 and go to the very end of that chapter, because there's something I want you to notice. Verse 33 says, "So Joab came to the king and told him, and when he had called for Absalom, he came to the king and bowed himself on his face to the ground before the king, and the king kissed Absalom." Joab was responsible to bring the king and Absalom back together. We find in this verse, reconciliation is made. There's a chapter heading, and if we're not careful, we'll miss what is about to take place. verse number 1 begins with what? And. It's connecting to the previous verse, if you please. And it came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. Now let's understand something here. We find that Absalom has reconciliation, and almost as soon as this reconciliation takes place, Absalom promotes himself before the people. What to say? Prepares him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. You say, how do you know he's promoting himself before the people? If you were to go to 1 Kings chapter 1 and verse number 5, you'll read of the very same thing that Adonijah done. Adonijah also, one of the king's sons, when David was elderly, when David was getting close to his death, Adonijah came on the scene, decided he wanted the throne, and this is exactly what he did. He prepared chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. He was setting himself up in this preeminent position, showing himself to be that person of strength, that person who is able to handle the situation. David did not do this. Absalom did it. I look and I see here a man who is in a position that is of the king's sons. Amnon the firstborn is gone. Absalom is the thirdborn. And the second we never hear anything about. We hear his name rehearsed a couple of times. Absalom seems to be a man of strength. He seems to be one who can really handle situations. He seems to be one whom, hey, if he wants to accomplish something, he can do so. And I believe in Absalom's mind, almost immediately he sees himself, I'm back with the king. Hey, listen, that throne is about to be mine. But something else takes place. Unlike David, who allowed God to bring him into that position of king, in spite of all that Saul sought to do to stop it, he allowed God to do it. But Absalom is not waiting for God. And he takes it in his own hands. And we find that he is a man who looks at David and he decides, I want David's throne. And we know that rebellion comes. We know that Absalom gathers these people together. We find that Absalom then rebels against his father and leads a coup against him. And David must flee for his life. In chapter 15, if we were to go on, it says, and Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called to him and said, oh, what city art thou? And he said, thy servant is one of the tribes of Israel. And Absalom said unto him, see, thy master matters are good and right, but there is no man depart of the king to hear thee. What is he saying? He's saying, basically, if I was king, I would take care of you. But David, he doesn't care. Do you see that? I believe in the mind of Absalom, he saw David as weak. I believe he saw him as weak because David was a man who was willing to forgive. I think he did not ever see him when he was out in the wilderness and all that he had endured through those days when King Saul wanted to kill him. I don't believe he ever saw him. Stood before Goliath, the giant, and had those stones in his pocket and the others in his sling and slew him. But he looks at him and he sees him as an older man and sees him as a man who is willing to forgive him of his sin. And I believe he sees him as weak and as one who does not have it all put together. He said, oh, that I were made judge, verse 4, in the land, that every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice. And it was so that when any man came nigh to him to do him obeisance, he put forth his hand, took him and kissed him. And on this matter did Absalom to all Israel that came into the king for judgment. So Absalom, what's it say, stole the hearts of the men of Israel. It came to pass after 40 years, I believe it's talking about his age, that Absalom said to the king, I pray thee let me go and pay my vow, which I have vowed to the Lord in Hebron. And what he was going to do now was to put together an army and come after his own father. Here's a son that is a rebel. Here's a son that has pride that is pushing him, that is wanting this position. I say to you tonight, our pride destroys relationships. Pride can destroy churches. Pride can destroy nations. I believe that's the problem in the United States of America right now. Is arrogance in the White House, in the congressional seats, in our judges' seats. Arrogance. None other than pride. We need humility. But then we see the loving Father. Virginia, I'm absolutely amazed at this. I look at this and I see this Father as his son rises up against him. Even after he's murdered his eldest son, David had a forgiving heart. Probably because he knew the forgiveness of God so much himself. Then we find that when God brings Absalom down and he is slain, David expresses his grief in such selfless terms as wishing he were the one who died for his son. When I read that verse 33 there in chapter 18, my heart was smitten. For as I read there and he says, oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee. I began to think about my heavenly Father, whom I had rebelled against. My heavenly Father, whom I had plotted against, who was more than willing to die for me, but through the Lord Jesus Christ did die for me. What a great, wondrous God we have. We're rebellious children. We have pride and arrogancy. But He died for us. Let me take you to the New Testament. Let's put two stories together. In the New Testament, in Luke chapter 15, it talks about another son who went to his father. And in his pride and arrogancy, he said, give me my inheritance now. And his father gave it to him. I don't know why he did, but he did. Probably because he's a picture of God, our Father, who is so gracious. And he took that which was given to him as inheritance, and we know the story. He went out and lived a riotous life. He thought, I know what to do with this better than my daddy does. I know what to do with this better than he does. I'm going to use it for good purpose. And off he went. And you know the story. He ended up where? In a pig pen. The two stories are very similar, are they not? Both of them experienced the grace of their father. Both of them, as they looked at their father, rose up in rebellion against him.
But then there comes a tremendous difference between Absalom and the prodigal son. And herein is the difference, I believe, between Absalom and the prodigal son. The prodigal in the hog pen humbled himself. And he said, I'm going to go back to my father. I'm not even going to ask him if I can be in the position of sonship again. I'm going to go back and ask him if I can be one of his slaves. If I can just be one of his servants. Because he knew in his father's household, a servant was better than where he was at in his rebellion. And he said, this will I do. He rehearsed it all the way home. And when he got there, he never got to give his speech, for the father was waiting and went and hugged him around the neck and put a ring on his finger, which signified he was back in the family, put clothes back on him, had a party for him, and invited all the neighbors. What was the difference between the prodigal and Absalom? It's pretty obvious, isn't it? One had humility and one had pride. Pride destroyed Absalom. Humility brought the prodigal back into the father's house. Back into full stead with him. What do we need to learn from that? Humble ourselves before God. I'll guarantee you one thing. If we will not humble ourselves before God, He knows how to humble us. For I believe somehow, as Absalom was caught by that hair he was so proud of, that which was really his glory, there's comments made about it, as that was caught in those branches, and as he was hanging there, and the mule had left him, I'm sure when he saw Joab, it was in a position where he was crying now for mercy. But there was a difference, for now it was too late. Now it was too late. Pride destroys. It destroys. Oh, may God help us to see who we really are. May God help us to see who without Him we are nothing. May God help us to see as His creatures, we cannot even in the new man live for Him. We need the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, how we need Him. How we need to cling to Him. Amen? But we're such rebels. We're so much like Absalom. Oh, thank God for David. Thank God for Heavenly Father. I mean, even in those moments, David said he wished he could have died for him. He wished he could do that for him. But you know why he couldn't? Absalom didn't let him. Because Absalom didn't let him die for him, he wanted to kill him. He wanted to have preeminence over him. Oh, how we need to just let God. Amen. Father, tonight, work in our hearts. Lord, what need there is in each of our lives to just let You. God, we're so boastful. We're so bold in this thing. Oh God, tonight, help us to see who we really are. And that You are our all in all. Lord, work in our hearts. May You be the master. May we not be the rebel. May we not look and see ourselves as that one who knows it all. Oh Lord God, tonight, bless and work in lives. I pray in Jesus' holy and precious name. Listen, our heads are bowed. You're seated in your seat. We don't have a pianist tonight, but you know if God has spoken to your heart, you know right in there where you're at, maybe you need to just take it to Him. Maybe you need to get up where you're at and just walk down here and bend your knee at what we call an altar. Maybe there's that need in our life tonight. Maybe we just need to ask God, have I been prideful? God, show me where I have. I'll tell you what. You pray that and He will. You want some answers to prayers quick? Ask God to show you your sin. But He will, that you might repent and ask God to forgive you. Heads are bowed. Listen, if God's speaking to your heart and you need to come down right now while we wait.